Welcome, Christian identity, white nationalists, truth lovers everywhere, and Jew savvy people everywhere. Welcome to Yahweh's Covenant People here, Your Folk Radio, December 8th, 2017. And isn't it today? What day is Pearl Harbor Day? Is that today?
That was yesterday.
Oh. Brother.
Totally missed it. Totally missed it.
Didn't even mention it in the media. You know, it's just we had to find out what the Kardashians, the transgender Kardashians, did yesterday. Yeah. That was far more important
than absolutely.
You know, that was way more important than our you know, watershed historical moment in the last, you know, 100 years.
Well,
I mean,
I'm back here in the backwoods of Arkansas, deep state Arkansas, and it's very much out of touch, very much out of touch. My cell phone doesn't work, but I am plugged into...
Wish I was there with you, brother.
Yeah.
I should be down there.
I'm plugged into an Ethernet cable directly into the modem, so we should have really good signal tonight. But I cannot get into the chat room. For some reason, it won't let me, because it's not recognizing
my
computer.
Pastor Dan's in there. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, I can see
Brother
it,
Dan.
But I can't get into it.
Praise Yahweh, Brother Dan.
And
we're overdue to talk.
Why am I thus is in there.
Very good.
Brother
Hello.
Dan, I'm coming down south via your invitation, by the way. We'll just have to work that out.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of radical, just FYI. Right. But I think you are, too. So we're going to get along pretty well, brother.
Surely not, Brother Hebert. Yeah, a whole crew's in here.
So I'm going
That's
to have to moderate plan. Because I don't have links to the document. So, Greg, let me just turn it over to you, and so you can.
Yeah, I'm trying to put a link in, but if you cannot access the chat room, so
no, you would have to put it into my Skype chat.
If someone can put a link into the chat room for the Book of Second Esdras, the R.H. Charles Revised Standard Version. It would be appreciated. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Eli will get it, but we'll work around it. Brother, I've got it right in front of me. I've got it all copied out with all my copious, bizarre notes that have come to me. And we're into some of the greatest scripture that's ever been written because
it
details
it
out.
Send it to him on Skype.
The eternity of the overcomers, the overcoming white brothers and sisters. Amazing stuff.
Yes.
Oh,
all
man.
Right. Okay, well, in the
Brother
meantime...
Brother Hebert says there's 8 inches of snow in western North Carolina.
What?
Yep, My that's goodness. What Brother Hebert says. 8 inches of snow here in WNC.
Uh-huh.
Wow. An inch will shut them down.
Well, the hills are straight up and down there. Harry Mack's in there. Hi, Harry. Hi, Tea Time Mac. We got a whole big crew. All right.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Hebert, the law says thou shalt not tell a lie. 8 inches of snow in North Carolina. Whoever heard of such a thing? Okay, well, if Brother Hebert says it, must be true, right?
Brothers, is my volume coming in all right? Am I being heard okay?
You're fine, no problem.
Okay, all right, just checking. Anyway, last week... We're into the absolute meat of this book. And I just want to say, when the Bible talks about the meat of the word, I actually believe those verses are referring to what we're in tonight. This is the meat of the word.
Among other sections of other books. I mean,
I'm not saying this is it.
He provides
but this is the
so
meat
much.
Of the word. Judeo-Christianity, this scripture, thank you, Pastor Dan, for putting that link in. This word tonight is not worthy of Judeo-Christianity to even know that it's out there. They would read this and just think, well, that's not in my Bible. I don't even want to hear about it. And I'd go, you know, okay, then I don't even want to talk about it with you. Enjoy your little deception life with your little mixed race church and your missionaries to India and Kenya and just see how it works out for you. I'll tell you what, brothers, the older I get, more hardcore I'm becoming. I have little patience.
The way I look at it, Greg, is they're not wasting our time. They're wasting their time. As long as they get out of our way and they believe all that claptrap, let them go, and you know, they'll provide a nice afternoon snack for some of the people over there in Africa, and they can be what they want. Now, what do you want to do? Start from verse 100, which I have right in front of me, instead of 102.
I actually want to read over. I don't want to go back into the horrible, hard to read verses of what happens to the rejectors of Yahweh and the law. Yeah, I find that difficult to read. But I would like to just read through the 8 or 9 verses that lays out our eternal destiny, which I believe is laid out for the Christian identity believers that persevere.
That would be 88 through 99.
Correct, yeah. Okay. And I'll go ahead and read that. And Eli and Steve, at any time you want to just say stop and let's talk about that, because these to me are some of the greatest verses ever. This is our eternal destiny being detailed to us. This does not deserve a quick reading and we move on. Now, we did go over this last week, but these verses, we're discussing our eternity here. Very deep, very amazing and incredible stuff. Let me read. I'm going to jump in at verse 88. Now, this is the order of those who have kept the ways of the Most High, when they shall be separated from their mortal body. In other words, when they die.
Uh-huh.
That is the perfect definition of death. When you are separated from your mortal body, that is death. So here's what happens to those brothers and sisters have accepted the truth. We see it, and I'm positive this is Christian identity belief right here.
By the way, let me interrupt here. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
because
jump in.
Pastor Dan.
No,
had
don't
a guest
interrupt.
On.
Yeah, I mean, just jump in.
Pastor,
we might
Dan
spend
had,
the whole hour on this, and I'm fine with it.
Come had on. A guest on who died on the operating table, had an out of body experience, and then came back into his body. Okay, so it's proof. This happens to so many people. That it's absolute proof that there is life after death. But and very often it's described as a wonderful, beautiful experience, at least for us white people who have been obeying his laws. And they don't want to come back into this mortal body. They prefer that place, right? But for those who are going to the downward side, they get terrified and horrified and they do want to come back into this
world.
Well,
we saw last week how even those that will not inherit the kingdom, their initial taste of the afterlife is to adore the glory of the Most High.
Right, exactly.
So even the ones that have not accepted the truth, their first taste of the afterlife, and again, I think we're only talking about white people here, no one else.
Yeah.
Their first, you know, and here's the verse going back to, let's see. Verse 78 in chapter 7. Now concerning death, the teaching is, and we're talking here about, I don't like to use the term unsaved. I would talk about the unchosen, those that have rejected Yahweh. When the decisive decree has gone forth from the Most High that a man shall die, as the spirit leaves the body to return again to him who gave it, we can only be discussing the Adamic race here. No one else has the spirit of Yahweh. That's first right. of all, it adores the glory of the Most High. That is the initial entree step into the afterlife.
Right.
And if you don't go further than that, that is probably a pleasant experience. At least for a short period of time, you realize, wow, that look at the Creator. The one that made me, it's amazing. I see the great light. And if they are brought back from that point, it seems to be a very pleasant experience.
Right. It is. It's always
because
that,
they have not progressed into the next stage.
Okay. All right. So hold on. Let me go back to Skype. Is Greg still with us?
Am I coming in okay?
Yeah, okay.
You're doing all right now, but you cut out for a minute.
All right, let me continue to read, and you brothers just jump in whenever you want.
Okay.
So, verse 89. during the time that they lived in it, meaning their mortal bodies, they laboriously served the Most High and withstood danger every hour that they might keep the law of the lawgiver perfectly. Boy, how unlike Judeo-Christianity is this one?
Right. Well,
brother, we could do 10 shows on this one verse.
Yeah. How the Judeos could, violate his laws.
These,
yeah.
The ones that will be happy in the coming age are those that have laboriously served Yahweh, and they have kept the law of the lawgiver perfectly.
Let me make a comment. He who loves his life shall lose it. He who loses his life in my name shall have everlasting life.
Well, amen,
that's
brother.
What Yeshua said, love the life in this world. If you love this world and your whole life is this world, you're going to lose that. Everybody loses that. But if you love Yeshua and his message, you love our Father Yahweh.
Amen.
And it causes you, due to the evil men, to lose your physical life in this world. You will have everlasting life because you were faithful even unto death.
Amen, brother. Praise Yahweh. And this is a lesson that it takes us our whole life to learn this. You know, this is not a simple concept. Let's face it, we love this mortal life. We love our mortal bodies. You know, we live in the physical world. This is a struggle.
Well, now, Greg, if you're gifted with the Holy Spirit, you eventually figured out that you're going to leave this body one of these days.
Brother.
Therefore, you have nothing to lose.
I get it, and so yet it's a struggle.
Yes.
I don't know how better to say it.
The others don't get it. They think they're going to live forever. They're 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Yep.
He who dies with the most toys wins. They are deceived by the evil ones who want to take those people down to the pit with them, because I think the evil ones know what's waiting for them.
I think so, too. They kid themselves, but
and
deep they down,
hate,
they
know. And they hate us so badly, they want us to suffer their fate.
You're right. I agree totally.
We're just kids in the pharmakia store. Please continue.
Verse 90, the clear verse that says, now we're talking about the ones that are going to make it into the kingdom.
The
therefore,
righteous
this is the teaching concerning them. I love this perfect little clear verse.
Uh-huh.
Let me break it down for you about the ones that are going to make it. And here's what's going on with them. That's why I love this book of 2 Ezra. The clarity of it is profound. First of all, they shall see with great joy the glory of him who receives them. You see, here's the difference between them seeing right after death and what the other ones saw. The other ones just see a bright light. These ones see the bright light with great joy. Mm-hmm. They have the realization of what they are looking at.
Yeah.
They understand. Yahweh is being unveiled to me, and I'm about to have my Shekinah glory restored to me that was lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell. This was our destiny initially before the satanic war and the pollution of Eve's womb. And the war that's gone on for thousands of years, and what a time we live in. And yet Yahweh has brought us to this moment where we actually understand the time that we live in. Praise Yahweh.
Well, when this thing hit me, when I was at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I realized what was going on with me, I called on the name of Yahweh.
Amen, brother.
And I turned myself over to him.
Amen.
He has healed me. And I can't extol. Pardon me, I'm a little broke up.
Sorry, brother.
He is so loving and glorious.
And
he knows his children.
And merciful and full of loving kindness. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Brother, it's a miracle any of us see what we see. We've been called into glory. There's no other explanation. Yeah. We've just been marked out, and we've responded to this call.
And he has brought me back in strength, and I'm ready for the battle.
Yeah, amen. All right.
Let me continue.
Yes.
Verse 91, first of all, they shall see with great joy the glory of him who receives them, for they shall have rest in seven orders. Now, remember earlier, the damned had condemnation in seven orders. Now we see that the elect have glory in seven orders and rest. It says the first order, because they have striven with great effort to overcome the evil thought which was formed with them, that it might not lead them astray from life unto death. I love that verse. The reason I love it is because the only race that matters to me on this planet is our race. All the other races to me, and I love to sit down and over a glass of something interesting and discuss the reason that the other races are here. And it's a great discussion.
Let me, deep down,
the only race I care about is the white race, because we are Yahweh's children.
Let me put it this way.
Chomp in, brother.
There are a lot of people in the other races, except the Jews, that will exist after, but they will not be us. They will be in subjection.
That's right.
Now, subjection.
Somebody's got to plant the fields and do the crops and, you know, do the landscaping. I mean, there it is.
Subjection for them.
Hey, that's what I've been doing the last 3 days.
Thing because we're going to be kind to them. We're not going to be hateful.
Right.
They've survived into the existence of the kingdom, but they may not enter. They will be outside, but they will still be blessed. They will live their lives in a normal manner. They will be born. They will have kids. They will die.
But their bodies will be filled with
glycophate. I absolutely agree, brother. I believe in the coming age, there will be Mexicans with leaf blowers cleaning up the fields. I mean, it's got to happen.
And lawnmowers that don't break down.
And they won't be miserable.
That's right.
No, they'll be happy.
They
will be fulfilling their purpose.
They will be
happy to submit to us.
All of this deception by the enemy will be removed from them as well. And they may realize who they are, what their place is, and be happy in their place. The problem in the world is these people have come up out of their place to a place they don't belong. They're trying to be on a level with us, and they cannot attain that. It was not given to them in the first place to be equal with Adam.
Yep.
And the rebellious ones of the Jews are deceiving these others by telling them they're equal with Adam and trying to use them to help destroy our race. But what they forget is the Adamics that are called by Yahweh, even if they are killed, will be back, and they should fear that.
We're back.
They should. Oh no, it's the ghosts with the Moses. Oh, louder. But it. Look, Yahweh's got this in hand, and he's telling us in these verses quite clearly what's coming.
Okay. Yes,
no doubt.
The wise people of our race will heed what this says, and the others that will not be called, that are rejecting, will not heed this. That is a conscious choice on the part of our people. And we can't make that choice. All we can do is what we're doing. We're exhorting to righteousness.
Yes.
That's our job. That's our commission.
Right. Okay. Now, what is the evil thought? What is the evil thought?
Lie on them.
Right. What is the evil thought that is being expressed here? The evil thought that we have to overcome. Greg, you want to take a crack at that one? What is the evil thought?
When Adam and Eve fell, let's face it, we became... That changed everything.
Yeah.
Without our Shekinah glory that we were designed to have, we are weak. Mm-hmm. Remember how weak Adam and Eve were after the fall? And,
yeah,
and if
very
you read
weak.
the book of Adam and Eve, which is a profound read, another apocryphal book that one of these days we might want to go through, it's the writings of Adam, mostly Adam, I think, after the fall, where he recorded things. I've read it a couple of times. It's a profound book where he is just coming to grips with the loss of his glory and the loss of all of a sudden he's sweating and he has to work. And it's hard to read because you realize that is our life in the current age.
It's the biggest
We were not
disaster.
Designed to live this type of life that we're in right now.
It's
we
the
weren't
biggest
born
disaster
for this.
Our race ever had. It's the biggest disaster.
We were born to rule planets and kingdoms.
That's right.
And millions of people under us, all of us.
Okay.
All white men and women are a mystery to me. I'm talking about white men here.
All right.
And women will have their place.
Yeah, right. Yeah, next to our men, right? But, okay.
Brothers,
Pastor
I
Steve,
struggle
what is the evil
meet
thought?
Women, to be honest with you,
Greg,
I don't know why they don't like
the
what
question.
I have to say.
What's the evil thought?
Oh,
it causes. What caused us to fall, Pastor
The white Steve. White men were born to rule planets and kingdoms.
Right?
And yet here we are under the thumb. You look around, you see Negroes with badges and Negro judges and Jewish judges.
Right.
And white men
and
can't
Jewish
get a
lawyers.
Job. And
this
is what the fall of Adam's race has brought us to.
Yes.
And this is what it's talking about where, you know... The evil thought was formed with them that it might not lead them astray unto death. And the majority of our people choose to go astray unto death.
Right.
Do they not?
Yeah. Well, the evil thought.
When was the last time you randomly met a white person that you walked away thinking this is someone that has a true understanding of the world?
Yeah.
And they actually
the
understand
then was
who
what?
They were, who they are, who they might be.
Pastor Steve, you want to take a crack at it? What was the evil thought?
What was the evil thought?
Yeah.
That they could be equal.
Right? Or that they didn't need
equal
Yahweh.
Equal to Yahweh. They're going to raise themselves up. That's what the thought that he put in their minds.
Right. That you shall be like
you
as
You will
gods.
Become as El.
There you go.
It's ego.
Yes. Yeah.
It was the introduction of ego.
And that we could get by without the Father. We could get by without heeding his laws.
You will become as El.
Right.
Which is the biggest lie ever told right after, you won't surely die.
Right.
All you got to do is fool around with me. We'll have a good old time, but you won't surely die.
So egotism that is fostered on disobedience. Disobedience, because Yahweh said, don't touch that tree. Don't touch the fruit of that tree. And it was not an apple tree. In the midst of the garden. Don't you dare touch that.
Well,
but they did anyway.
A metaphor for a person of another race.
Right.
Absolutely, brother.
Okay.
Let's touch on that
real quick.
That
was the evil thought.
Brother Steve, let me ask you this question. What was I believe we all are on the same page with the sin of Eve. What was the sin of Adam? What was his sin?
It's
never detailed in any scripture I've ever found. What's your opinion? What did Adam do?
He believed Eve.
Well, no,
But what sin did he commit that caused him to cover his loins with leaves?
Well, he did the same thing that Eve did.
He did the same. He bumped uglies with Eve. The Nakash did. She was already pregnant when he had her.
My personal opinion here, and I cannot back it up with anything other than just my opinion, I believe that Nakash enticed Adam and Eve also was egging him on. Adam likely had sex with some female of another race.
Right.
I can't prove
well,
it.
Well, they
that's
tried,
just my
they
opinion.
Tried to say it was Lilith.
You know, that's
the
only
female,
my opinion. I cannot find a single verse in the Apocrypha, and I think that's by design, that details the sin of Adam. And I have looked and looked and looked.
Well, she imparted the knowledge of sex to Adam, and he realized he was naked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe his sin was having sex with Eve.
No, of course not.
That happened eventually, obviously.
Of course not.
I believe he was induced to have sex with some female, or it could have been a male. Who knows? It's not told to us.
Yeah.
Well,
he had sex with some creature of another race against Yahweh's command. Don't partake of the trees, the families. He had sex with some creature outside of his race.
Pastor Dan's got it in there.
Yeah.
Lilith, the wife of Nahash the Enchanter.
Mm-hmm.
She appeared as a female human.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because they could appear. They could appear any way they wanted, male.
Probably
or
a fallen angel. Likely a fallen angel that appeared as a female of some, you know, Brazilian mocha colored. Who knows? You know, I've seen a few Asians that before I knew what I knew now, well, never mind. But, you know, these other races can appear attractive.
Well, let's stop. It never says that some of these other races aren't attractive.
I know, it doesn't.
It
they
just
can be.
Says you have to be restrained in your behavior and not partake of that. So, no, Lilith didn't become pregnant. A man couldn't impregnate an angel. No, that was seven and none.
Well, she may have not been an angel anymore.
She showed Adam how to do the hoochie coochie. Okay.
The
hoochie coochie. Did you just say that?
I just said the hoochie coochie.
The hoochie coochie.
Well, we're all adults here.
The cotton mahunda.
I know, but that dates is saying the hoochie coochie. I'm just saying.
Yeah, right. I drove in my jalopy.
Hoochie coochie.
Brother Eli, you're a rock and roll. You're a rock and roll. Superstar.
Well,
hoochie coochie.
The hoochie
wasn't there an old Steppenwolf song, the hoochie coochie man, or something like that? Brother Eli, you would know that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm digressing here.
Yeah. A Tea Time asks a really interesting question. What could Adam have done to keep himself from falling after he realized that Eve had had sex with some other guy? What could he have done?
That's a profound question. I never thought of it. How would you answer that?
Well, they fooled both of them, actually. I think it was a teamwork job to get the race of Adam to fall. Because
brother, let me jump in.
Woman was of the race of Adam because she was taken from his rib, and that's the only rib in the body that grows back completely and will regenerate itself. So she had his DNA as well.
Our enemy is profoundly practiced.
Oh man,
at tricking us.
Yeah,
they have
millennia
of understanding. Can you even imagine the understanding of a fallen angel, the trickery, the knowledge, the deception? We stood no chance.
Yes.
Zero. We would have all fallen just like Adam did. I guarantee it. I hold no grudge against Adam.
Okay,
I probably would have fallen
instantly
to that enticement of that serpent.
Well, Dan's got it in the chat room. Adam was enticed to commit the same sin as Eve did with Lilith. There you go.
Or some other creature.
I read that years ago.
Doesn't matter.
The name doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's amazing. Eli, remember when we did our study of Enoch? Even Enoch, who detailed by name the angel Gadriel. Yeah.
Gadriel, yes.
All they said was, and Gadriel
seduced Eve.
He was the one who seduced Eve.
Right.
That, to me, is all the detail that's ever been given, apart from, you know, implications in other verses. They do not detail exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It's obviously a sexual sin, and a fallen angel seduced Eve.
And that perverted the bloodline.
Right. Okay.
And brought these evil creatures into the world.
Yes.
And
yes.
Cain was of the Nakash bloodline. Now, I don't know whether Lilith had a kid or not, but they were hybrids. And that was the great thing. You shall not mix. You shall not eat from this tree is what Yahweh said. Well, the tree is a metaphor from this race. And they infiltrated that garden to seduce and destroy forever, to introduce sin into this plane of existence.
Right, brother. And we're into the great difference between Christian identity and Judeo-Christianity here, because they have no concept that a seed line of evil Nephilim beings were planted on this earth in the garden. They have no grasp of it whatsoever.
Judeo-Christianity is a gloss. It glosses over stuff. It doesn't
Their understanding is so shallow. I marvel that there's millions of our people in these churches that have no grasp of what even took place in the Garden of Eden, which is the foundational understanding to know what's going on in the world today.
Well, see, the whole thing is they're lazy. What we do here and what all these other CI pastors are doing, we're doing hard study. It takes work. People don't like work. They don't like it. I'll read it later, and I'll quote somebody something out of the Bible. Well, I don't really read the Bible. I just go to church, and I listen on Sunday.
So my
pastor.
By the way, I was a pastor with a Bible degree. Nobody ever broke any of this down for me.
No.
So I understand why the churches don't teach this, because none of the pastors are taught this. They don't know what's going on. You know, I've met people with doctors in theology from Dallas Theological Seminary. I wouldn't pay 25 cents for what they know compared to what I've been shown.
Right.
They know nothing. They don't know anything.
Seven of none ask a question. So you three are saying that Yahweh did not tell Adam and Eve about the birds and the bees. Well, that doesn't show it in Scripture.
Yep.
They knew what those things were for. And like Dan followed up, it was their race mixing that caused their fall, violating you shall not mix.
That's it.
Deuteronomy 23:2, shall not come a mamzer into the congregation of Yahweh, even under the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation
the metaphorical,
of Yahweh. And it carries on through Scripture, we're not to mix.
The so beautiful brother metaphorical
Dan, brother,
language.
Brother Dan has nailed it right there.
Okay, this begs the question, and I think this may address Tea Time's question. Had Adam not done the same thing, and because Dr. Wesley Swift says that Eve had to have seven gestations to cleanse her womb, had Adam not had sex with those things too, then maybe after seven gestations, Adam and Eve could have had immortal offspring again. Maybe. What else could Adam have done that he didn't do?
Hard to deal with that hypothetical situation. I don't know. I don't really have an answer for that. You know.
But maybe that's what Adam could have
done. Adam being a man, he probably wasn't that hard to trick either. I mean, let's face it. Who knows what the Nakash put in front of him?
Brother Abear.
He probably jumped on it.
Stop. Brother Abear. They saw the animals doing it. Plus, Eve was deceived, seduced.
Right.
The devil can transform himself into an angel of light. Hollywood deception.
Yeah. That's a great comment, Brother Herbert. Well,
James Dean.
I agree perfectly.
James Dean.
Look what Hollywood can do now. By the way, I'm into this huge study lately, brothers and sisters.
Boy, did we open a can of worms.
The transgender.
Oh, no.
Everybody you see from Hollywood, you might as well just assume 99.9% of them are transgendered.
Molested.
It's incredible once you see it. The women used to be men.
Okay.
The men used to be were born women.
Okay.
And they are unveiling themselves to us.
Yes.
Once you, I understand okay. Hollywood better now than I ever have. It's all about it's all them true. Transgendering themselves. Right. Right. They're trannies. They're trannies. It's incredible. Once you see it, right. it stands out to you like et cetera. You wonder why you never saw it earlier.
Okay, let's suffice it to say that the scriptures aren't really clear what Adam could have done differently. Okay. But that has to be up for speculation, but some good ideas presented here in the chat room. So let's continue because I don't think we're going to be able to answer that question. Okay. Not in the light of the information available to us from the scriptures. Okay. So where did you leave off? Second order? The second order. I don't think we got that far.
So the second order, verse 93, chapter 7. The second order, because they see the perplexity in which the souls of the ungodly wander, and the punishment that awaits them.
Yeah, I think we see that, right?
Again, I believe we're only talking about white people here.
Okay, yeah.
All the other races don't factor into this at all.
Yes.
This is the race of Adam that either accepts Yahweh and his laws or rejects.
Yes.
The other races
does not want puppets. He does not want puppets.
Okay.
This is the third order.
Yes.
They see the witness which he who formed them bears concerning them, that while they were alive, they kept the law, which was given them in trust.
Yes.
You know, Eli, let me ask
you
this verse.
After Adam and Eve failed to. Yes.
This verse, they have kept the law which was given them in trust. Contrast this with the whole entire concept of the Judeo-Christian church age. That thinks the law was nailed to the cross and the law is gone and you can do whatever you want and we're in the age of grace and you can eat pork and you can marry a Negro and there is no law anymore. You do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah,
I mean, where's the disconnect here, brother? Break it down for us because this is profound here.
It's easy. They failed to keep that trust. You know, they weaseled their way out of it through phony theology, right?
And they are deceiving even the very elect.
That's
There's
right.
a lot of people that are elect that are being fooled today by these masters of
deception,
lies. Your father is a father of lies, and your father's works you wish to do. Well, that was Yeshua speaking. You don't get much more authority than that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, fourth order. Yeah,
the fourth order.
Yeah, they have not kept it in trust.
They understand the rest which they now enjoy. Now, keep in mind, these are the elect that die. That's what we're discussing here, the ones separated from their mortal body. The fourth order, they understand the rest which they now enjoy, being gathered into their chambers and guarded by angels in profound quiet, and the glory which awaits them in the last days.
So it sounds like they're anticipating that day.
I commented last week that they will not note the passage of time. Mm-hmm. They won't be bored. They won't wake up. They won't be waking up unduly. Mm-hmm.
It's a great rest, a beautiful rest.
They will sleep in peace and be totally restored.
Yeah.
And they will not, you know, the passage of time will continue on for the others, and they will be tormented.
Like Cody with the out-of-body experience, coming back into his body, but waking up into an immortal body. Imagine that.
Steve, I think you said last week that time will cease to exist for these ones.
Yeah.
Did you not say that?
Yeah. It will. They won't be subject to the law.
It's not like, oh, come on, can we get this over with? It's like the concept of the passing of time will no longer
exist. Yeah, let's get this over with.
They will realize that a day equals 1,000 years and a thousand years a day.
They will be on Yahweh's timetable
at that point. If it's 1,000 years, it's
and
like a day. It's like nothing.
If they lay down and they sleep, they will awake into their new body.
Yeah.
In the presence of the Father and the Son, blessed with that Holy Spirit, and they will have eternal life.
Well, let me reread the first couple of words here. the fourth order, they understand the rest which they now enjoy.
Uh-huh. Right.
So they finally are given a divine understanding of this rest, whether it's 1,000 years, 100 years, however long it is. The understanding that they're given, it could be 1,000 years for many of them, and it is. Many of these people we're discussing here died 1,000 years ago, the elect of Yahweh. But they have an understanding that 1,000 years is like, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and have eternal glory.
There's no corruption. They won't be in these earthly bodies.
Yeah.
There's no corruption. They won't feel pain. They won't feel anxiety.
Right.
They won't have a panic attack in the middle of the night.
Right. Yep.
You know, all the rules will change at that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they will be in, I guess.
And it's hard for us to understand it. Because we live in this evil age where, you know, we watch the clock and we wake up to alarm clocks and, you know, this whole evil age we live in.
Yes. So they will foresee the glory which awaits them in the last days. Okay. But we are still in the body and we ourselves can foresee that. Okay.
Well, and also it says they're guarded by angels in profound quiet.
That's right.
I'll just speak to my own experience. I have multiple locks on my doors. I sleep with a loaded handgun by my bed.
Negroes
with a
banging
high
on your door.
1,000 lumen tactical flashlight.
Right.
I do not sleep in profound quiet.
Yes.
I'm like, you know, I'm going to sleep, man. If somebody breaks in my house, they have to go through multiple barriers to get to me.
Right.
And if they do, I'm armed. Yeah. You know how powerful 1,000 lumen flashlight is? That light alone can shut you down.
Yeah.
I mean, I do not sleep in profound quiet, brothers. I wake up 5 times a night. My cat meows, I wake up and I grab for something.
Right.
I mean, I do not sleep in profound quiet.
Right.
Eli, you know where I live.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean,
I take Lasix and I have to get up every hour.
Yeah.
Brother, I'm praying
but
for
I've
you.
But I've lost all that water weight.
I know what Lasix does. Lasix makes you pee a lot. I understand.
I'm down to 224 from 254. Okay. So tell me about it.
Yeah. We don't have, well, at least you don't have bedwetting anxiety anymore. All right. Number.
No.
Number.
Oh, no.
Fifth order. We only have a few minutes
left. Fifth order.
Let's see if we get through all of these.
They rejoice that they have now escaped what is corruptible and shall inherit what is to
Amen.
Come. And besides, they see the straits and toil from which they have been delivered and the spacious liberty which they are to receive and enjoy in immortality.
In immortality.
Eternal life.
Okay. So what's the difference between...
We are the only race promised... Right. That we have the concept of eternal life laid out before us.
Okay, so what's the
only our people?
Right. Between anticipating something in dread that something horrible is going to happen to you versus seeing very clearly that the kingdom awaits us and it's going to be in a profound immortality of peace without any pain and suffering. So what's the difference there? Okay? There's a huge difference. And only those who have been righteous will experience the latter. Okay? All right, sixth order.
It says, the sixth order, when it is shown to them how their face is to shine like the sun and how they are to be made like the light of the stars.
Wow.
Being incorruptible from then on.
Okay, so we can see these who
incredible verse.
The dearly departed can see this. They can see this coming. Can you imagine the joy in their hearts?
We will be restored.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the word.
To our original state.
Amen. How we were meant to be from the garden.
That's meant to
correct.
Be, right. Be what you were meant to be, right?
Our face will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father.
Right.
According to Matthew 13. Yep. And this is a perfect correlation. Actually, Matthew is a correlation to 2 Ezra, and not the other way around. Ezra was written long before Matthew was written. Matthew references back to this verse.
Oh, for sure.
That our face will shine like the sun.
Okay,
and
seventh
we will
order.
Be made like the light of the stars. This is the destiny that our people were meant to have.
Yes,
incredible.
And if you can foresee
very profound
this,
here.
And if you can foresee that this is going to be your future, you know, what do you, you know, what me worry? What do you have to worry? You just wait till the time comes. You know it's gonna. You have this assurance from Yahweh because you have been righteous, that this will be your destiny. You know, hooray! All right, okay. Number seven.
You know, I have great appreciation for the seventh order, because these first six orders are all incredible. And Ezra goes, the seventh order, which is greater than all that have been mentioned. So he's saying, here's the greatest reward to these overcoming white brothers and sisters. As amazing as the first six are, number seven is greater than all of them. He goes, because they shall rejoice with boldness and shall be confident without confusion and shall be glad without fear. For they hasten to behold the face of him whom they served in life and from whom they are to receive their reward when glorified.
Okay. What a
spectacular, amazing verse that is.
No
the
comment
confidence
necessary.
To stand before.
Yes.
Not hastening to meet Yahweh.
Right.
You know, these Judeo-Christians, they all talk a good game.
Right.
But when it really hits the fan and this world comes to an end, very, very, very few, if any of them, are going to run with confidence towards Yahweh and say, I can't wait to meet you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I'm telling you, most of them will run the other way.
Yes.
There's no way.
But the Judeos
will run the other way because they have rejected his law. So there's no way they have confidence to stand before him.
Yeah. Right.
But this verse says, we will hasten to behold the face of him who we served in this life.
Amen.
And from whom we are to receive the reward when glorified.
Only then will we be able to see his face without being destroyed.
That's right. Because we'll have
our
glory bodies.
Will be changed. We can't look at him now.
Right.
In these bodies. That's why only Moshe could only see the backside of him. You couldn't see his face.
I know.
He showed himself.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Moses was the man on the earth at that moment.
Oh,
are you kidding me? He was the man. The man.
But and all of us will be changed. We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and the others won't. They'll suffer that. They'll get resurrected, but to the second death.
That's right.
They don't want to believe that. That's too horrible for them to believe, but they love this world so much they still won't change.
Okay.
What's the All matter right. with that picture? Can
Versus...
you say, duh?
right. All right, verses
let me jump in
99
verse
and 100.
99.
Yes.
This is the order of the souls of the righteous, as henceforth is announced. And the aforesaid of the ways of torment, which those who would not give heed shall suffer hereafter. I answered and said, will time be given to the souls after they have been separated from the bodies to see what you have described to me? He said to me, they shall have freedom for 7 days. I think he's discussing both groups here. Both groups will have a week. They shall have freedom for 7 days, so that during these 7 days they may see the things of which you have been told, and afterward they shall be gathered in their habitations. And Enoch details these habitations, the habitations for the righteous and the unrighteous whites. So even the unrighteous whites will get a week to observe and to lament their situation before they're gathered into their temporary holding place before the judgment.
Okay.
Verse 102 here.
All right, hold on. I want
to say something?
Yeah, I just want to get this in before we run out of time. 1 John 3:2, to Steve's point about Moses and us being able to look God in the face. 1 John 3:2, New International Version. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But I think we're getting really close here with 2 Esdras. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yes, excellent cross-reference. Excellent. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm about to finish up here.
Okay. That was 1 John 3:2?
1 John 3:2, yes.
I want to write that down. That's very good.
On the 15th of this month, I will finish up 2 Chronicles. That's the whole Old Testament.
Okay.
Then I go in the book of Jasher. Then
Amen.
I will be doing
Great
Enoch.
Book.
Then I will be doing Jubilees.
Ooh, those are killer books.
And I will also, I have all I have Tobit and all of this, Maccabees, all of, I'll be going through the entire Apocrypha.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
Before I go into the New Covenant books. Okay.
Very good.
And I've got Tobit, I've got Esther. This is the Greek version containing the additional chapters. I've got the Wisdom of Solomon. I have Sirach. I have Baruch, which we have covered. The stuff we've covered, I'm not going to recover. It's not necessary. I have the Lamentations of Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah. I have Azariah. I have Susanna. I have Bel. I have 1 Maccabees, 2 Maccabees.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we've never done all of Maccabees. This. Never done those. Okay, with about four minutes left, why don't you take it to, let's see, like verse 102, something like that, and that will cover these seven glory verses, for lack of a better expression.
Verse 102.
Well, 102 is no intercession for the ungodly.
Okay, so that's a different theme.
And that's what we were going to start on.
Okay.
101 is the last.
Okay. So this would be a good point. Did you read 101 or no? I'm sorry if I missed it. He said to
I did,
me,
yes.
Yeah, he okay. did.
That's where both the righteous and unrighteous get a week, 7 days to observe the moment, their situation, their destiny, and then they're gathered into their resting place until the judgment.
Okay. Yeah, one group is going to lament, one group is going to exult.
Yes, yes.
And then they will be separated, and the ones that will lament will not receive a rest. They will wander about continuing to lament.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
They will be suffering because they will still be subject to the laws of time, but we will not. We will have perfect rest until the last day.
Yes. So this could be, with a few minutes left here, do you think they will suffer eternal punishment forever and ever and ever? Or is this...
No, if you get cast into a lake of fire, you're going to go poof.
Okay. Now, what about the other races who simply go on living as they were in fleshly bodies?
They will live their life.
Yeah,
they will live their life here.
Pain and suffering.
They will live and they will die as a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow. They have never been promised...
So they will have illness.
Eternal life.
They will have fear.
They're not going to be in this situation. This is only for our people, Eli.
Right. Only for the righteous of our people. Only for the righteous of our people.
Well, no, it's only for all of Adam kind. They'll be resurrected, one to eternal life, one to the second death.
Right, yeah. But I was talking about the painless immortality. That's only for the righteous Israel.
Oh, no, that's only for the righteous.
Right.
That's it.
Exactly.
We will be changed. We will be changed, and the others will not. Yes. They lose that.
Okay. Well, this
their
is
choice.
Verse...
They love this world. Okay. They suffer the fate of this world.
Okay. Let me read verses.
That's your problem.
98 and 99 together here. The seventh order, which is greater than all that have been mentioned, because they shall rejoice with boldness, and shall be confident without confusion, and shall be glad without fear, for they hasten to behold the face of him whom they served in life, and from whom they are to receive their reward when glorified. If you are not praying to Yahweh every day, then you're not subject to this. All right, you're not going to get this. This is the order of the souls of the righteous, as henceforth is announced, and the aforesaid are the ways of torment which those would not give heed shall suffer hereafter. So take your pick. Okay?
Yep.
The one group is going to have eternal glory without pain, fear, confusion. The other group is just going to continue to suffer the ways of torment. In other words, they may just their lives may just continue as they are now, you know, until they die.
They will regret forever.
Profound regret. There will be profound
their rejection of Yahweh.
1 minute.
Yes. There will be profound regret.
Shalom aleichem to all my brothers and sisters. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
All right,
amen.
Folks.
I just want to say this. I love the fact of Christian identity. Christian identity to me is the essence of what we are studying. This is the theology of Christian identity right here. This is the meat of Christian identity. We are so far beyond the Judeo-Christian theology. You can't even compare what they think and know compared to this amazing knowledge that we're going through in these books. This is the meat of the word of Yahweh. And Yahweh is calling out his children through this word.
15 seconds.
Praise Yahweh for the depth of this word that he's hidden to these final days.
Yes. Okay. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. See you all next week on Yahweh's Covenant People. Yahweh bless.
Praise Yahweh, brothers and sisters.